Okay, Rabbi, say, let us begin. We are back to the Tuesday night Vad by Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, and we have a special piece that we're going to learn together tonight. It's on Parshas Nayach on page 119. Panisi b'shaitai l'gainer b'chaim kanievsky shlita. So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is writing that I came into the house a while back of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. Amarti sheyesh li shela b'gemara. I said to Rabbi Chaim that I have a question on the Gemara. Hakasav Aimer, the Torah says in this week's parasha, mikol ha-behema ha-tahira tikach l'cha shiva shiva ish v'ishtei. Every kosher animal, seven and seven, man and wife. And from the non-kosher animals, also you have to take animals, but not seven, but two. Ish v'ishtai, a man and his wife. I don't know if anyone was ever aimed on this pasuk. It's a really, really strange pasuk. And he asks Reb Chaim, tongue-in-cheek, Mi sider lebehemas kedushin? Who is the Masada kedushin by these chasnas that the behemas had? We're calling animals now ish v'ishtai. You say zachar nekeva, ish v'ishtai, like they're married. Ish v'ishtai implies that there's some sort of marriage. So you're telling me that the elephant and his wife are husband and wife, they have a marriage license? Like, what does this mean? It's not a strange pasuk if you stop and think about it. Eifa hischatnu, where did they get married? A masai niyul ish v'ishtai, exactly how did they become man and wife? How did this happen? So he says that l'maisa zusheilas ha-gemara, this isn't my question. This is actually a gemara in Sanhedrin kuf chesam abeis. V'chiyesh ishos lebehema, is there in fact ishos to a behema? Is there a marriage concept, relationship for a behema? U'pirish Rashi, v'alei ein ha-behemas mi'achdeis ben zug kavua. There's no permanent relationship between animals. There's no marriage or there's no relationship. There's not like a set couple between squirrels, between birds, between orangutans. They don't have set couples. They have whatever. If they're really good, they'll be miyachid within their own min. But to say that two together are mamish, like related as a couple with an exclusive relationship, that's just not so. V'tirtzu, so the Gemara answers, Me oisam shleinevra bahem avera. We're talking about, when the Pasuk says ish v'ishta, it's talking about those animals that didn't do an avera. Pirush Rashi, shleinizkeku el ben zugam. Rashi explains that they were faithful, not to a specific spouse, but within their own species, they were faithful. Meaning they didn't have a relationship with a yaina, and a monkey didn't have a relationship with a zebra. Like, it was, they stayed within their own species. Those are the ones that were invited into the teva, shalika isai hadar, which is unusual for that generation. Sheshchisa bnei adam darkam v'chilchala hashchas afal balei chayim. The people, human beings, they were very decadent, and they committed all types of debauchery, and this spread to the animal kingdom as well, and that's why the animals had to die together with the humans in the Dara Mabul. And that's how Rashi explains it, that it doesn't mean specifically that they were husband and wife, but more broadly that they stayed committed to their own species. Vani tama, but I still was a little confused because hatshuva eina eina hasheila, because the tshuva doesn't really answer the question. Why? Hasheila haisa shahayil va behema eina miachedes ben zug kavua, since the behema does not have a set zug, le shayach likra litzemed behemas b'shem yishvish, you can't call a pair of animals husband and wife. Shein geder ishes l'beim, because there is no ishes for a beima. Shein yane ta mishpachti kavua, because what is ishes? Ishes means that you have a set family. They don't. So mater tu, how did the Gemara answer it? Shleishchisu darkam. They didn't live with other species. That's very nice. But for that, we confer upon them the title of Ishos. Atima harizu pritzos kechepenes midran. It's still pritzos. As long as they're not staying loyal to their mate, to one person, to one animal rather, so then they're still pritzim. They're still committing, immoral acts, if you will, with other animals, albeit within the same species. So what does the Gemara mean? Okay, so this was the whole question that he put to Reb Chaim. And now Reb Chaim, as we know, is a human encyclopedia. He's a human Bar Ilan, and he's able to, and he knows everything. So on Ali, Reb Chaim says, Loi iantem sham. You weren't ma'ayin in that Gemara. You might know that Gemara in Sanhedrin, but you didn't really look into it be'ion. You didn't look into it really well. So, ani nimna ala ayavim esatechacha. He says, this is Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky talking about himself. He says, I'm counted amongst those people that like Musar. B'myuchadim ani yachal echiyash ani atzaydik. Especially, I really like the concept of teichacha, when I'm able to prove that I'm right. Meaning, so there was like a challenge. Reb Chaim says, I didn't know, I wasn't Mayan well. I like that. I like the challenge, especially when I could prove myself right. So, B'nai HaGayin Reb Avraham Yishaya, he has a son, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. It's amazing. You know, when you speak about, there are Gemaras that speak about that if there's, if you have a, you know, three generations of Talmid Chachamim. So it's Eina Shuv Eina Eina Parish Mehem. The Torah stays. Once there's three generations of Talmid Chachamim, it goes on and on and on. And it's an amazing thing, like what you see, like by Reb Chaim. So you have, let's say, Reb Aryeh Levin. And then you have the Leshem, and they had the Stipler and the Stipler's wife, and then you had Reb Chaim Kanievsky. That's three generations already. Right. They're not, but they're, you know, fathers-in-law, fathers. You know, you have like a family. You have the Stipler. You have Reb Chaim. The Chazon Ish was his uncle. And the point is that once Torah is like in that vicinity, it stays. And it doesn't stop with Reb Chaim. Bli Ayin Hara, you know, it goes further and further. Reb Chaim has sons that are tremendous Ga'inim. Like Reb Chaim learned with them. I think he finished Shas with a lot of them before their Bar Mitzvah or some crazy stuff like that. And he even has grandchildren, Reb Chaim. Like, I don't know how old they are, but, you know, they're 30s, 40s.
Some of them are grandparents themselves.
Right. So if you look in the back of the Talmud Akra, I was just looking at it on, I think, on Simchas Torah. So the yeshiva has, like, I think, one of the later editions of the Talmud Akra, which is Reb Chaim's Sefer on Chumash. I don't know if anyone knows about the Sefer. It's like, but it's I think one of the greatest Sfarim. It's all brilliant. It's short pieces on all the parashas, but it's brilliant. It's like literally like the Vilna Gaon style of Gaonus. And he writes Bekitzer, and you have to like sort of like chop what he's saying, but like it's like right dead on every time almost. So I shouldn't say almost every time. Maybe for me, I don't understand. Maybe sometimes, but like it's brilliant. And then in the back, if you turn all the way to the back of the Talmud Akra, so there is maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 pages of very small fine print, and it says on the top of those pages, Hagais Nechti Neriyar, which is these are the additional addendum of my grandson, I don't know how old he was when he wrote it, but he can't be that old. I mean, he's not, and he writes he has like points on all of the, not all, but like on a lot of the pieces of the Talmud Akra that Reb Chaim wrote. He has, I in this, I in that, he has either, most of the time it's just the Abarbanel says the same Vart, or, he finds places that his grandfather was mechavin to, but sometimes he asks questions or, brings a whole din on every piece. And it's just a fascinating thing that, how Tyra stays there. How, they're so Tyradic that, there's something special about that family that, and they married into all the other, Rav Steinemann is a mechutin, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is a mechutin, and one after another, there's so much intermarriage of Gedolei Yisrael in that mishpacha that it's not normal. But I'll tell you a story. I said it last year, but I don't know if how many of you were there when I said it. But Reb Chaim has one of Reb Chaim's sons, not this one, not Reb Mishaya, but I think his name is what's his name? Anyone know any of the other names of Reb Chaim's sons?
Shlomo.
I think it was Reb Shlomo. So he's the Rosh Yeshiva in that Yeshiva. He came to America. Or is there a shawl also?
Yeah.
There's a shawl?
Yitzchak
shawl. It may have been Yitzchak shawl. So this is going back around 20. No, I'll tell you exactly when it was going back. About 18, 19 years ago. 18 years ago. So he came, one of the sons of Reb Chaim, either Shlomo or Shaul, Reb Shaul, came to, I was living in Brooklyn at the time, in Flatbush, and there were big posters that Reb Chaim's son was in America, and he was giving a Friday night, a sheer Friday night, and it was a winter, bitter cold winter night, and it was about, I would say, a mile walk from my apartment to where the shtiba, where he was speaking. Now, a little background about what was going on in my life at the time was I was married for about 3.5 years, and we couldn't have children. And it was very, it doesn't seem like a tremendously long amount of time, looking back on it, but when you're married and, and all your friends and all your family and your siblings and your cousins and your chavrus and everybody, getting married and right away having children, and you're not, it's a strange thing, especially for women. It's a very, very depressing, that it's a very strong feeling of sadness and it's hard. And it's not, obviously there are people that are married 10, 15 years. I'm not saying that we were there, but it was, 3.5 years is not... not an inconsiderate amount of time, inconsiderable amount of time. So my wife told me, maybe go there. He's obviously, he's Reb Chaim Kanievsky's son. He's coming here. You don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe just go and, ask him for a bracha. So I was like, yeah, but it's really cold out. She said, go, put your coat on, put your boots on, and go. All right, so I did it. And, it was taka very cold, the wind was right through the bones. I get there, it's giving a shir, and I wait till the end of shir. And then everyone's giving a Shabbos and telling him who he is, so I call, I get a minute with him alone. And he's a young man. I mean, he was maybe in his early 40s, mid 40s, I don't remember exactly. And I told him, my name. And I said to him, I need a bracha. He says, what do you need a bracha for? So I told him, I said, my, we've been married about 3.5 years, and the problem. So he looks at me and he says, you don't need a bracha. I said, no, really, I do. He says, no, you don't. So he says, Good Shabbos, and Shavu B'Shalom. I didn't know what he was talking about. Anyway, I came home. I told my wife, I said, we don't need a bracha. She said, well, you go back. And I said, I'm not going back. I tried that once. I'm not going back. Anyway, the bottom line is that some 8.5 months later, Shlomo Zalman, my Bukhar, was born. We didn't know at the time, but this is Reb Chaim's son. You can imagine what Reb Chaim himself and the stipler, it's an amazing thing. I mean, he knew in his mid-40s, without meeting my wife, without meeting, just he saw my face and he knew that it's a crazy story. I'm not telling you above Maisa that I read in a book somewhere about some other person. I'm telling you a story that happened to me. You don't have to trust me, but if you do trust me, then, it's a true story. It happened. I just don't remember his name. I don't remember which son it is, but that's the only reyus on the whole story. But so listen to what happened here. So his son, Rabbi Avraham Yeshaya, brings a Maseches Sanhedrin. Pasachti, I opened it. The Karasi Mila B'Mila, and I read the Gemara again. Mila B'Mila, Gemara Rav Rashi, Kamesha Amarit. Exactly, I quoted the Gemara right. So what, where, prove me wrong. What did I say that's so bad? How could Reb Chaim say that I didn't properly be Ma'ayin in the Sugya? Amar Rav Avram Yeshaya, so Avram Yeshaya says, Ani Erle, he says to his father, Ta, don't worry, I'll take over from here. I'll show him, where he went wrong. Hitzpia al divrei aruch. So he put his finger on the words of the aruch. The aruch is one of the commentators that appear on the side of the, it's brought on the side of the daf there in Sanhedrin. Lemar. And if you look in the aruch there, it says, Bishvil shalei ba'u al she'einan minam. Because these animals did not come on species that were not their own, asalan kavod. The Torah confers honor on this, on those species, on those particular animals. The kasav lahen ishos kiv adam. They weren't man and wife. They weren't husband and wife in the colloquial sense. But the Torah considers them. The Torah calls them husband and wife as an honor that was bestowed upon them in the schus of the fact that, like the Gemara says, that they stuck to their own min, they stuck to their own species. Amartis, I said to Reb Chaim and to his son, Yachulu brachis ha-roishcha, hari lakach ani miskaven, hein zu she'lasi. He says, Baruch Hashem, you should be a bench, you should have brachas, be blessed, because this is what I had in mind the whole time. This was my actual question. And now this is why I wanted to show you, to learn with you this piece tonight. First of all, we learned a lot of ideas tonight so far. We'd stop here, we'd already get a lot of ideas. We learned about these animals being called husband and wife. We learned about the fact that he came to Reb Chaim. I told you a story about Reb Chaim's son. This other son of Reb Chaim, Reb Mishai, obviously knows Shas Bal Peh because he pointed out the Aruch right away. So we learned a lot. And the Aruch's Vart that says that we consider them husband and wife merely by the fact that they were Bo'al Shemim. But here is Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky's Haysafa. And this is what I think is very important for us to take away from this evening. Basi Lakan, I came here to Bnei Brak, Lishol Sheol, to ask the following question. Hatayra le nimshlo isha. If you look at the end of Sefer Mishle, here's another thing to take away from tonight, and that is that Eishes Chayel is not just a poem that appears in Zmir Shabbos. It's really the end of Mishle, right? It's the concluding perek of Sefer Mishle. And so when we sing Eishes Chayel on Friday night, the simple reason why we sing it is because we're sort of thanking our wives for, or our mothers, whatever, for making all the preparations for Shabbos. And that's definitely the Pshuta Shel Mikra, that Eish Eschayel is a Jewish woman. But if you see the Medrash, and the Medrash says that it's much deeper than that, that Eish Eschayel is really a reference to the Torah, because the Torah is considered to be the wife of the Talmud Chacham. meaning a Talmud Chacham, who's really a Talmud Chacham, is in a certain way very much married and bound to the Torah, in a very special, intimate relationship. Hagoyin Rabbi Kiva Eger Zatzal, Haya Kaviyachal Baila Shal HaTorah. Rabbi Kiva Eger was the husband of Torah. He was the husband of the Torah. Kol Mayin of Ba, whoever looks in to it, the Ein Lei Ba'olam Davar Milvado. Meaning, oh, I'm sorry, all of his interest was in the Torah. He had no other interests. Rabbi Kiva Eger wasn't interested in sports. He wasn't interested in politics. He wasn't interested in current events. He wasn't interested in anything. All his entire life, his entire focus, his entire mind was all Torah. That's all Rabbi Kiva Eger cared about. In fact, there's a great story which I was walking with my daughter in Home Depot in the summer, and I told her this story in Home Depot because it's Taka Pella. You go to Home Depot and home. Did I say this recently? No, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What?
Wednesday.
Okay. Good. When? How long ago?
Wednesday was the first one.
This year?
Yeah. But Wednesday night this
summer. I thought it was last time. Okay. I'm
happy. Wednesday early this year.
It was early this year.
The first one this year.
Okay. So you'll forgive me for repeating. So you go into Home Depot, and there is and you ask like any guy wearing or a girl wearing an orange apron. Simple. Right? How these people are not rocket scientists. These people are not Einsteins. They're not. They're regular people. Nice people. Regular people. You say to them, "I'm looking for like a little screw. I'm looking for a can of whatever, for like a special type of thing, a special item, not something that everybody knows about." Like a little tchotchke that you're looking for in this huge, huge Home Depot warehouse. And they hear what you say, and a second later they say, okay, you're going to find that in aisle 27. It's going to be on the left-hand side in the middle of the aisle. Now, I could have asked them for a thousand other things. Home Depot literally carries thousands of products. And probably most of the things that I would have asked, if the guy was there for a long enough time, he would know. That's aisle 18, that's aisle 19, that's aisle 94. And I'm always like nispoil. Sometimes they don't know. But a lot of times they do know. And I said to my daughter, are these people geniuses? How do you know where that little thingamajig is, in this huge store with thousands of products? Is it, So I told her that there's a story with Reb Kiva Eger, that somebody asked Reb Kiva Eger how he knows every single Taisus and Shas. He knows every Taisus and Shas, he knows every Rosh and Shas, he knows every Ran, he knows every Numukai Yesu, he knows every Taisus and Rosh, he knows everything, basically. And that's the beauty of learning, like Reb Kiva Eger, that he's able to have the entire aerial view of Kala Torah Kula, and he asks questions on Taisus, and that's what Kiva Eger does. So they asked him, how do you do this? How do you have a mind that you're such a genius that you know everything? How is it possible? There's so many volumes in the Beis Medrash. You know everything? He says, why is that such a pella? He says, you go into they didn't have Home Depot back then. He probably would have used Home Depot as a muscle. But he says, you go into the local tailor, and you say, listen, I lost a button. I need you to replace it with a similar type of button. He says, what type of button? He says, well, it's gold, and it has a little anchor on it. There's a strip of red inside, and it has on the back. And he says, okay, no problem. And he goes, he takes his ladder. There's like 30 boxes full of, every box has 10 million buttons in it. He goes, punk to the right box, takes it down, like fishes through it, and pulls out that button every time. So Kiviger says, do you go to the tailor and say, wow, you're a genius, you're the rugged shover because you're able to do that? No. Why not? Because the tailor's no genius, but this is what he does for a living. If he can't find that button, he's out of business. If the guy in Home Depot doesn't know where this is and where that is, then he's not employed anymore in Home Depot. That's part of what they expect you to do in Home. They probably give you a fair, and they probably give you like books to read on every aisle, and you got to memorize it, I imagine. And you know, and if you don't know it after a certain time, that's it. You're done. That's what's expected of you. The problem with us is that we don't understand that. We think that when it comes to Torah is like a, you know, when it comes to the MCATs, we have to know it cold. When it comes to studying for the CPA, we have to know it cold. When it comes to Torah, no, you know, whatever. If I know a little bit, you know, the Rebbeinu should be happy with me. Reb Kiviger says, this is my life. This is what I do for a living. I don't do other things. I'm not a tailor. I don't work in Home Depot. I don't work in you know, in the stock market. I'm a rav. I'm a talmid chacham. I'm a paisik. I need to know everything. It's not a pell. It doesn't make me the biggest genius in the world. It's just this is what I do. This is what I dedicated my life to. So that's what I'm good at. It's interesting. Reb Kiviger, every year, we just said Simchas Torah, say Reb Kiviger every single year was given the kibbut of Chasen Torah, which isn't a chiddush because, you know, most Rabbanim every year get Chasen Torah, right? But when it comes to, so Reb Kiviger was like crying once on the way down from getting Chasen Torah. And they asked him, you know, why is it so sad? You know, you don't want to make a kiddush, don't want, we'll pay for it. No, I want to make a kiddush, but I'm upset. He says, why are you upset? They ask him. So he says, because I'm Chasen Torah. He says, I've been Chasen Torah now for 30 years, and I still don't know the Kala. I'm a Chasen to the Torah 30 years, I still don't know the Kala. Meaning, to Kiviger, he didn't know the Kala. He felt that he wasn't as knowledgeable, as knowledgeable in Torah as he should be. Which is like a battle itself. But the point is that Reb Kiviger was married to the Torah. When he was a Chasen Torah, it's fair to say that the Kala was the Torah. That was his Kala. He was completely married to the Torah. He was, his mind, his heart, his every move was the Torah. HaChazenish Zatzal, HaStipler Zatzal, Karsi Melavad Bris made a singular covenant with the Torah. There was nothing else to the Chazanish. There was nothing else to the Stipe. They didn't have the Torah plus. They weren't, you know, I'm learning, but I'm also in real estate. I'm learning, but I'm also, I have a nice portfolio that I keep my eye on in the stock market. Or that wasn't them. They were Kulay Torah. They were literally 24/7 just Torah. Aval Yesh Bnei Yeshiva Rabim. But he says, there are many Bnei Torah. Any rights to the Katrig, I don't want to be a Makatrig against them, but Shemayneim Einem Beter Levado, Manyanim Isam Devarim Neisavim Levado. They have other interests. I guess we're all like that a little bit, right? We like learning, hopefully, and we learn, and we're Bnei Torah. We try to do the right things more often than the wrong thing. But can we honestly say that all we care about is Torah? Do we have no interest in the World Series? Do we have no interest in politics? Do we have no interest in the fact that the head of ISIS was killed? We have other interests. We're interested in Torah, but we're also interested in other things. We might be interested in the careers that we're going for. We might be interested in, you know, in video games. We have other interests, whatever it may be. Ma'inim ha'isim dvarim ne'savim levad. We have things besides for Torah. So, what does that make us? Does that make us, are we okay, or is it bad that we're, you know, we have other interests? So Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky wants to give us all, if we're in that camp, and we're not the Stibos, we're not the Chazanich, he wants to give us like a pinch on the cheek. He says, Aval madar kulay kai paretz, v'shakua b'chamres m'vaises b'tayeves. If we're in a generation, and we are, that is completely off the rails in terms of morality, They're completely immersed in chumrius, in gashmius, and in taeva, in abominable activities, shalaineda, that we shouldn't know of. V'heim b'chol zayis b'chatzis beis Hashem, b'in kasli beis ha-medrash. But yet we're here. Here we are. We're in yeshiva. We're in avad. We're learning together some divrei Torah, some musar, some interesting things. We're learning. We're learning together right now. We could be doing so many other things out there. If we're not here, out there, it's a whole nother ballgame, right? There's so much to do. You go into, you don't even have to go out there. You can go to your dorm rooms. You can take out a phone. And there's a zillion things to do. But and sometimes we do that also. But yet in this generation that everybody is like so, it's such a dar amabel, and it is. It's a crazy world out there that's so beyond the pale of morality and decency, and here we are, we're somehow in 2019 still able to learn, still able to be in yeshiva, still learn a little bit, not the whole day. We're not learning the whole day, and even when we do learn, it's not fully immersed, and we have other interests, and the phone rings, and then we get a text, and we're out the door, and okay, we're not perfect, we're not the Stipler, we're not the Chazanish, we're certainly not Reb Kiveger, but we're trying our best to be mezavig with the Torah to the degree that we can. Kimeduma sheyeshlume mikan lases lam kovid. Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is saying that we, who are not fully married, we can't be called ish v'isha to the Torah, because to do that you need to be on a really, really high level of attachment to the Torah, which we can't claim. But what you do see from this whole Gemara and this Aruch is what? That even if you're not completely married to somebody, you could still be called ish v'ishtai if you're doing well relative to the generation around you. These animals that were on the teva, they were all special in the sense that in the Dara Mabel, where everybody was going crazy and doing all types of crazy activities and big averus and ashkasa and all of that, and they were sticking within their min, not to their own. They weren't loyal to their wives, quote unquote, alone. They did pritzas maybe in their own way, but within their own species, relative to the dar, that makes them special, and that makes them even ish v'isha to their wife. The Torah confers upon them the honorary title, even though maybe they didn't fully deserve it because they weren't loyal to their companions fully, but they were called ish v'isha because they did good klapei the dar. Relative to the generation, they were still, you know, they set the bar a little higher. Ish v'ishtai. Kimeduma sheyesh lom mikan lasis lam kavod. So even us, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is talking about us, even us who are not fully immersed in Torah day and night, we do other stuff, we have other interests, but we could also be considered in our own way like the Baal of the Torah. If we would get Chasan Torah, that would be a normal thing. you're a husband to the Torah, yeah, right. I know what you do half a day. No. But look at the rest of the generation. Look at the whole world. Look at what's going on. The fact that I'm able to learn in yeshiva a little bit, first Seder I learn a couple of hours, let's say, and then at night Seder I learn a little bit, and then on, you know, and then in the summers I learn it, and Shabbos I learn a little bit, and Yom Tov I learn a little bit. Does the rest of the generation do that? Every guy that you went to high school with, are they doing that? No. Are the rest of the people, Bechlau, Jews, Bechlau, are they doing it? No. So if we're doing it, it's not to say that we shouldn't shoot always higher and get more Mekusha with the Torah, but for what we're doing, if the Torah considers these Zachar and Nekevas to be Ish V'Isha, then we could be considered on a certain level to be the biome of the Torah. Oh, well, that I'm Reb Kiveger? Yeah, you are Reb Kiveger, because compared to the Dar, you are Reb Kiveger. In this generation, you're Reb Kiveger. So what did Reb Chaim Kanievsky answer to that? Now we get the real Das Torah on this, right? Okay, Reb Yaakov Galinsky is also Das Torah, but if he's going to the Reb Chaim, obviously Reb Chaim, you know, is the Das Torah. So this piece ends, V'nanea liberay sh'rav chayim, nodded his head, V'amar, hein. You're right. So now we have that Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita holds us, you and me, to be a bailam to the Torah, to be that our Eish Hezchayil is the Torah. Now, we might not be that in our own minds, but Das Torah would say different. Das Torah might tell you that you are. Now, we have a lot of work to do, you know, a lot of marriages. You know, you might be married to somebody, but there's always room for improvement in marriage. And we always can improve, we can learn more, we can be more shaku in learning. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than, a Rebbe of mine always used to say to us, there's nothing more beautiful than going to bed with a kasha and waking up with a teretz. You ever have that? You ever, like, so into learning that you go to sleep at night and you're thinking about a kasha? It might be a kasha on a taisis, it might be a kasha. It might be a kasha on...
get off before dad turns it on.
It might be a kasha on a Rashi and Chumash. It might be a kasha on davening something. And you have a kasha, and you fall asleep thinking about the kasha, and you wake up in the morning, you say Maidani, wash Negovasa, and like the teretz is like there. It's rare, but it happens. And there's nothing more beautiful. There's no greater sleep than that. And there's no greater feeling than when you're trying to be mechadish something and learning, when you're, let's say, giving a chabura. I don't know how many of you have ever given a chabura, but like, you know, sometimes in yeshiva there are chaburas you give to, let's say, you're a chevra in yeshiva that are, you're learning the same sugya, and now this is your week, and you're expected, let's say, Thursday to come up with a kasha, with a mahalach, with rayas, and you're spending the whole week thinking about that half hour that you're going to be saying your chabura. And it's a little bit of a, you know, it's scary, there's pressure, and you know, you're going to have like your friends and your peers like analyzing what you're saying and maybe ask you questions of what you're saying. But that week that you're preparing it, there's no greater Kodesh Kadashim than your mind when it's fully shaku and learning. That's an ideal to live to, you know, to look up to and to aspire to, I should say. And that's a real, that's like a kiveger. That's somebody that your whole life, your whole mind is molded by Torah, by kashrus, by terutzim, by yediyas, by chazara. That's an amazing thing. We're not there. But Rabbi Yaakov Linsky and Rabbi Chaim was masking this holds that until we're there, we're still there. And the nafkamina is when we look in a mirror, what are we looking at? Do we look at ourselves as real Bnei Torah, as Talmid Chachamim? Or do we look at ourselves as, nah, you know, I'm watered down, I don't really do as much as I could, and I have a smartphone, and I look at this, and I'm into that, and I, you know, I'm trying, but I'm not there yet. That's true. None of us are there yet. But the fact that we are aspiring to it, the fact that we're in yeshiva, the fact that we're all here, and we want to better ourselves, otherwise we wouldn't be coming to this vad, and we wouldn't be in yeshiva, we'd be somewhere much further away. But the fact that we're here shows that we are aspiring to be Talmid Chacham, to be married to the Torah, and we're already then considered to be Ish V'Isha by virtue of that Aruch that we learned together. That even if we're not Ish V'Isha, but the fact that relative to the Dar we are, we're staying faithful to the min, that itself gives us the status already now of an Ish V'Isha. So we're married to the Torah, and we are committed to the Torah, and the marriage will get stronger and stronger, Mitzvah Hashem, the more we stay in yeshiva, and the more that we continue to always surround ourselves with Torah, and with Rabbeim, and with friends that are Chashav. But until we're completely into the highest madrigas of Limanat Torah, like Rabbi Kibeger, we should just know as we look in the mirror that I'm already the husband of Torah. I'm already a chasen Torah. I'm already somebody that is makusher to the Torah, should identify as being makusher with the Torah, and emirtz Hashem, from being the chasen Torah, we could develop tremendous shalom bias with the Torah until someday we'll also be able to be a gain in learning.
What is that? People came to Chatzor. What is that? People came to Chatzor. not koma.
What?
It's a death, it's